For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms. You guys, welcome to another episode of the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. Today, I have Vicky Harris, otherwise known affectionately by everyone who adores her as Miss V. She is the owner and founder of Choreography Pros, and I've been waiting to talk to this woman for a couple years now. We won't count. I'm just kidding, Miss V. Thank you so much for joining me today. I want to talk all things Choreography Pros and this convention coming up, but welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to be on your show for a couple of years. So this, you know, there was mutual.
Very mutual. It took a little bit, but I mean, I've been hooked for my very first time going to your convention. I mean, just seeing all the love and respect that everybody has for you. I'm just excited to share your story on this podcast. So, I mean, the first question I guess I have for you is, help us understand your amazing career as a performer, because not just choreographer, you have danced in the pros, and I just want to hear all of your background in the pro space as a dancer. You are a choreographer, but let's get into your performance career as well.
Thank you for that. Yeah, you know, being older than a lot of the other people that are in the industry right now that are really hot, but I started off dancing pretty much from my youth. And it wasn't your typical like dance studio where my mom put me in a studio. This was like the 70s. My dad was military enlisted, so he didn't make a ton of money, but he always encouraged us. My siblings played sports. I played sports, but I wanted to be a dancer cheerleader, you know?
Okay. And
so my actual first studio teaching experience was in Hawaii when my dad was stationed there, and I was a hula and Tahitian dancer. So I actually started about 5 years old, and we were stationed in Hawaii till I was about 9 or 10. So that was like my first performance type of background. And I danced on television. I danced for tourists. My teacher was a Hawaiian teacher. That's where I learned more about dance and culture, right? Mm-hmm. And so when she taught us dance, she taught us the culture. You know, I remember my mom would sew my satin costumes. I remember doing a dance where I represented the island of Molokai. And my teacher would tell me what the beads stood for, what, you know, the color of my dress stood for. So that's kind of where I got that real love for culture and dance. But besides that, I was also watching Soul Train.
Yeah.
And what's happening. And learning how to lock, learning how to pop. You know, I loved the Jackson 5. I was just, you know, picking up and just absorbing everything I could, because back then you didn't send your kids off to watch TV in another room or video games or the phone. The family watched everything together. My family was very like into music, into dance. And, you know, my three siblings are 9, 10, 11 years older than me. So I came way later. So I was kind of the go Vicky, yeah, you know, that little girl who's always like doing the robot and popping and locking it for the family, you know. So I kind of grew up being an entertainer because my family kind of encouraged that. I lived in Louisiana after I lived in Hawaii.
Okay.
And that's where kind of like that cheer discipline came in, because they're more into like kind of the hardcore cheer.
Right.
When I moved there, I kind of learned that aspect of cheer. And then my dad got stationed to Denver, and then that's where he retired. So when I came there, I was very much into dance and cheer. And so fast forward, when I was in high school, I was on the cheer team. And then I was choreographing. And at the time, you know, varsity basically ended up owning all these different companies, you know, all the cheer companies that you and I probably cheered with early 80s or late 80s or 90s or whatever. And my coach was like, well, why don't you choreograph our competition routine? I was like, gladly, because I was so excited. I was like, I could do what I want. And so that was kind of like my first choreography experience. And I still am friends with my high school cheer coach, Denise Borg. I always tell her, I was like, you are the person who gave me my first opportunity to know what I could do and to move forward with it, you know? And she just gave me the reins. And I remember we got a Superior Trophy at state. And our school was more supportive because we were competing and doing things like that. Then I got approached, going back to talking about varsity, I got approached by one of the cheer groups. I think it was called Rocky Mountain Cheer Association, or maybe it was USA. I can't even remember, girl. It was so long ago.
Well, and there was so many like acquisitions.
Girl.
Yeah, that whole industry just collapsed into one.
Yeah, it all just collapsed into one, right? Yeah. So they asked me, because they saw my choreography in high school, they were like, who choreographed? And my coach was like, she did. And then they said, if you can do choreography for us and send us a VHS, we'll pay you for it. And so I was really excited about that, especially my senior year. And then I was planning on going to ASU. And I remember choreographing this whole thing to send, and I never sent it. I don't know what happened, but I just never sent it. So going on from there in college, I never had any technical training because, you know, I was more into cheer, and then I ran track and all that other stuff. So when I got to ASU, that's when I took like jazz, African, tap, because, you know, I was in electrical engineering and that was like my fun classes. I knew I could really get a good grade. So, so that's kind of how I end up getting more dance background. And then from ASU, I was picked up as an apprentice for African professional dance company out of Arizona called Kawambe. And we would perform all over Phoenix, we perform from MLK and things like that. So really my first two professional type dances were cultural dance and performance. And so after college, and this is probably like mid 90s, you know, that's when I kind of got more aware about the Cardinals or the Suns dancers and things like that. And I did try out. I remember I tried out for the Cardinals. I made it to the finals, but I didn't make the team. And then I remember making it to the finals of the Suns, but I didn't make the team. And this was like early 90s, you know. The Cardinals, I think it was more of like, I probably didn't really fit the, not my body, because my body was really thin, you know, back then and cut up. I ain't look nothing like I look like now. but I was in really good shape back then. But it was just, I think back then, you know, it just wasn't as open.
Yeah, I could imagine.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I just didn't fit the bill NFL, I think. Going to the NBA, they were super technical. So they loved me, loved my choreography, but they start doing all this sequence stuff across the floor. And I was like, that's not me. I don't. So I remember at the time the coach was like, we really want you on the team. Why don't you take some classes and do. And the reason why I'm sharing all this, because I want dancers to know that my dad always taught me not to take anything personal. There's always a commercial aspect to just about anything that you do. And sometimes it's not your fit, you know? And I agree. Like when I look back, I'm like, neither of those teams were really my fit.
Got it.
But it was a great learning experience, you know, for both of them. And so once I didn't make the Suns, she wanted me to come back. I was in grad school, working all week and in grad school all day on weekends and on nights. So I was like, realistically, this isn't for me. So what I did was back then, Def Comedy Jam was the big thing. And they had the Def Comedy Jam tours and there was Power concerts, you know, Power 92, Power 102,
Yes.
So they had those concerts with Boys to Men, all that. And then Living Color was out. So girl, I created my own fly girl group called Perfect Selection.
I know that's right.
you got to do what you got to do so you could get your choreography out there and your dancing and you and your girls. So
I
I
love
had,
this.
so when Def Comedy Jam came in town or any concerts came in town, that's kind of how me and Coco hooked up because my best friend at the time that danced with me, Coco was doing all the shows, like all the dancers in LA, even though he lived in Phoenix, knew who Coco was. Like Coco was on that show back in the early 80s called Dance Fever One, him and this other guy that's from Phoenix. I mean, Coco was well known like around in the dance community. And this is, long before the internet, social media, and stuff, he was just known. So we started doing more shows together. Like we were doing Power 92, we were doing MLK, we were doing, this and that. And then also, I started teaching at that time in the night, late 90s. It was this cool thing of hip hop aerobics type of thing. And so that kind of started with, I can't remember that thing that was on TV. And they were from Seattle, actually. He was really well known. So hip hop fitness was really big. You could like take the classes on television. So at that time, we were doing it in the gyms too. And we were going to classes, and me and my friends were dancing together. And we were going to these hip hop classes. And the woman, Felisa Israel, that created in her mind the thought of the hip hop squad when the Mercury. So she was working for the Suns, and they had decided they were going to do the Mercury. And she was like, I want to do this squad that's, hip hop. And at that time, everybody was really conservative, right? Especially Phoenix. I mean, this is the time when Tupac got shot and Biggie and all that stuff was going on. So
And hip hop was
they,
kind of getting a little bit of a bad name around that
well,
time too, in terms of being what it was associated with.
girl, like hip hop's always been a culture, style of dance. It's a street culture. That's what it is. And so it wasn't cool. It was cool to us, but I remember going to studios and people turning up their noses. No, we don't want your class. Now these same studios can't survive without hip hop. But when I came and I wanted to teach, gave me that kind of thing, like almost like quote unquote hood or ghetto or whatever, I mean, that's the kind of look they gave me. And so that's why I created my own avenue. And then when the Mercury Hip Hop Squad came, she scouted us and was like, hey, I'm doing this hip hop squad. I would like you to come and audition. And I said, well, I have a group, I was like, can everybody come? She's like, yeah. So we all went and auditioned. And I remember that was 1997. And actually, one of our choreographers was Cheryl, who's the coach of Louisville. The Suns had a really unique style. They were very competitive dance like style. They did a lot of turns, a lot of like around the world suicides, that kind of stuff. So she wanted us to do hip hop, but we weren't doing hip hop the way I knew hip hop, being in the hip hop culture, right? I was also in a hip hop crew on the side, and battling and doing all the stuff being in the hip hop culture. So I knew when we did the hip hop squad, and she kind of explained it. She's like, we got to ease people into it. So I was like, that's cool. And they called us the Hip Hop Spirit Squad. So I remember our first performance was a exhibition game. Reggie Miller was there because Cheryl Miller was the coach. ESPN was there. He was announcing on ESPN because we were on ESPN and NBC. Because when the WNBA was new, girl, it was like, it was the thing. Cheryl Miller, by far, I think, rocketed the league into orbit and to stay there, basically, because her personality and her draw with especially the Phoenix fans was unbelievable.
I can't
And I
imagine.
remember we were playing the LA Sparks at ASU. And they told us, our coach and the woman who created us, they said to us right before our performance, if they don't like you, if the crowd doesn't react, you guys are done. Like, we're
Wow,
not
no
doing it.
pressure.
Right. Okay. So we have been practicing for, weeks and weeks of running. Girl, we ran. I mean, they had us running all the time. We ran probably for an hour before we even start practice. Our practices were like 3.5 hours long. They were so long. So here we go. We're out. I'm the point of the bowling pin, right? Reggie Miller's right in front of me. I can see my coach and, the director in front. They're looking at us. I mean, we had drilled this routine and everything. And I'm front point and I'm looking, and they start the music. And it sounds like this. Right? You can't hear me, right?
Right. No.
This is the first performance ever that she said, if they don't like us, she'll be. So, girl, it was just going. The music, we couldn't hear it. And I could see we were all just stiff because we knew how to be clean, be ready. And everybody's going, oh my God, I can hear people going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And so I'm sitting there, and the music all of a sudden pops on.
Oh my
And I
goodness.
go, turn around. Because we were supposed to be the other way by this
Oh,
part of the music.
got you.
Girl, we hit it right on time, killed the routine, and the crowd went crazy. And after that, we was like, we got this.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Those types of like issues we don't talk about enough. I mean, it doesn't happen too much, but like, man, the audio mishaps. You don't even know when the music is going to pick up, when it
Oh,
does
no.
pick up. It's just they act like you could just turn the volume on. They don't restart the music. Like it's an actual timed performance. So, you, oh my God, the stress, the stress, the
The
stress.
stress, especially when they told us if they didn't like us, we were going to be gone. So we were all stressed because we had practiced so hard for weeks and weeks. We even had to go through two different auditions after we were told we made it. Then they said, well, we have one more audition. I was like, what? Another audition. Because they
Yeah.
wanted to bring more people on because we really didn't have as many people in the first audition. But I think they added like one or two more people. But yeah, it was just a very stressful time because it was new. And that's kind of what happened. Like, that was the beginning of my professional career in 1997. And then after that, our coach actually became the coach of the Suns because the way we structured our team and the way our director envisioned us, like, very high in crowd engagement. And at that time, like, the Suns dancers, they were fantastic. They would come out, but you wouldn't see them again. Like, they come out, perform, they want that whole energy of like, oh, where's the Suns dancers? We can't wait for them to come out. Where our team was more like, hey, what's up? We're in tarmac, sign autographs, talk to fans, doing this, that. So we're kind of not as formal, a little bit more relaxed. And so the crowd really started to get to know us personally. Like,
Gotcha.
we literally had fans. I had fans holding up a sign that said, Ms. B Rocks. It was the most bizarre thing ever. Like, Energy, which was VM, one of our, they would have one about her. So kids, parents, people, would have signs for the different people on our team because we got to know them so well. And so I think they wanted to kind of roll that fan engagement to the Suns. So our coach actually started becoming the Suns coach too.
Gotcha.
So she coached our team and the Suns dance team. And then we had girls from our team that were making the Suns dance team because they could do both. And that was the first time I truly had the opportunity to do the Suns again. And they were asking me would I audition for the Suns. But by that time, I was working full time. And I just was like, nah, and I was, what, 29? My first professional gig was at 29. So y'all know it's never too late.
Never too late. I know that's
Yeah.
right. So you were balancing that with your career as well. So what is your career? I thought I heard electrical
So
engineering.
I
Okay.
started
No.
off in
Started
electrical
off that.
engineering.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I switched to mathematics.
Oh,
So,
okay.
yeah. So my job as an analyst, I was doing sales forecasting then. So I
Got
was a
it.
demand planner. So I basically, numbers and worksheets with sales. That's what I tell people.
No, it makes sense to
Graphs,
me.
charts, stuff like
Okay.
that.
Got you.
Yeah.
But you were balancing that while you were performing
Yes.
with the Suns. Okay.
And
Amazing.
I had a teammate, MJ, who you met at the convention. She was in law school.
Wow.
So we had a lot of people doing a lot of different things outside. So Mercury was actually, WNBA was perfect because it was like 3.5, 4 months. The season's much longer now, but probably like May through August, short. So, you could tell your boss, hey, look, May through August, you know, I'm going to have to leave work at 3 or 2:30, you know. And that was much easier to manage than, you know,
The
a
full
long
NDA.
NDA sis. Yeah. So I was happy doing that. And then I got the opportunity to choreograph for Suns. And then I got opportunities and offers from other teams. And that's kind of how I started doing choreography a lot.
A lot. Okay.
Yeah.
And is that what kind of inspired the launch of ChoreoPros, or how did that come into being?
So after 7 years on the Mercury, I retired finally. I had my son. I actually was pregnant with him during Mercury season 1 year. And then I danced one more season after him. And then I was like, I'm done. I'm like, I'm 35. They're going to kick me off if I don't leave now. I mean,
I know that
it was a
feeling
whole new
well.
generation I was dancing with. So I was like, it's time to go. It's time to go. But they still wanted me, and I still wanted to be involved. So I did a lot of choreography for the hip hop squad.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Going forward. Then one of the girls that I danced with my second year in Mercury, she ended up getting the job with the Seattle Sonics, being the NBA coach. So she wanted me to come up there, do choreography for the audition, which I did. Then we started doing like mini camps with her. Then she had her company where she was doing mini dance camps for like high schoolers, and we were all involved in that. So a lot of us who danced together. And then even after I retired, I knew a lot of the Mercury dancers because they knew me from coming in and teaching, like, you know, Wheezy, Britt, like all of them. They were all youngsters then, and I was coming in teaching. But then I would do stuff with the Suns. So that's how I knew a lot of Suns dancers. And then I would do stuff for the Arizona Rattlers. And then I would do stuff for, you know, just whoever brought me in. So then we all started traveling. Once the friend of ours that was with Seattle, she ended up doing the Golden State Warriors. So then she wanted our type of choreography and what we were doing. So she flew us in to do choreo camps. So she would bring me in with the audition and stuff, but we would go as a group. There was like me, Saza, Wheezy, a guy named Mario. There was a couple other people. Who was it? Chocolate, Danielle, Tina. Sorry, I was still called Danielle Chocolate. So all of us would travel. We would teach a mini choreo camp. And then Portland Trailblazers would come down with their former coach. And then Amy Jo, who was my former teammate, by that time, she was coaching Nuggets, and they would come down. So we were doing this at Warriors all the time. So then once she left Warriors and she went to Detroit, and we did up there in Detroit. I was like, and I have my son, I'm working. I was like, all these people are here that she's flying in. I was like, why don't I bring people here? you know? And that's when I started doing the conventions.
But okay.
Yeah. But prior to the conventions, I had started ChoreoPros as an online dance studio. I trademarked the name in 2007. I started videoing all of our friends, like Melissa, all those guys. I would pay them and they would do a routine or whatever, whatever. I'd videotape it and I would hold on to the tape until, see, you can tell how old I am. I said videotape. I would video them.
Okay.
Girl.
It's an evolution,
I'm telling you, like, I feel like I've lived 1,000 lives because how much technology and everything has changed in just my lifetime. Yeah. It's like, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. But I launched the website in 2012, and it was like $9.99 a month. And you could go on there, and people could, you know, learn our routines that we did on there. And then after that went on for years, so that was 2012, 2013 is when I started the convention. Sure. Amy Jo was like, man, this is awesome, because she's like, you can do all the convention dances. And at that time, other people who were doing conventions of this nature were giving out DVDs. Well, I had the website. So what I did is I loaded our DVDs on Vimeo and then I would push them through our website. So we started doing all our convention choreography was available online. It was really awesome time because we were kind of the innovators in this field because nobody was really doing what we were doing as far as doing the routines online, you know, then taking our convention routines and putting them online. Yeah. So it was just really a cool thing. And it was really fun. And we just carried on for the past like 12 years doing it this way. And it's been like a total blessing. 2019, we kind of changed everything up. I didn't really like the $9.99 format anymore. I wanted to get away from that and just offer routines for purchase. So you can get on our website without having to pay. You can see previews of the routine. You just purchase them as a go. Yeah. So that was a wonderful change for me because it took a lot of pressure off by having to have new routines every week. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And when you have, like, this is just a business lesson. You know, when you have a format that, you know, that people are subscribing to, no matter what it is, you're always going to have to come up with new content.
Content. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you are a full-time sales analyst or demand planner or whatever your job is, full-time lawyer and stuff like that, to find time. Now, as I was getting older, you know, I didn't want to do it. You know, like, I didn't want to be the person doing all the palm routines. Like, I wanted like a variety. I wanted people doing stuff. You know, it's just a lot of work to get people to come and do this and do that. And so I was like, you know what? I want to change that format. Additionally, we were able to do so much more because we could put things, all these routines in different categories.
Categories.
And all, like, you could designate, if you want palm, you could pick palm. If you want hip hop, you could pick hip hop. So you don't have to look through the whole 300 routines. And if you want a sideline, you could do that. And that's all thanks to my girl, Ro.
Hey, Ro.
Who built it. My sister girlfriend.
I love it. Yeah. So you literally were changing, like, the infrastructure of the platform that you had online. Okay. And this is right before it became even more important because of the pandemic, right? Timing wise.
Girl, I know. I always feel God leads me in everything I do because, you know, there's some things I did prior to launching the site that I was like, thank goodness I thought that far ahead. That made launching the site a lot easier, you know? And then when the pandemic came, I already had the structure to go ahead and toss, you know, all I did is I had a meeting with all my people and I was like, hey, here's the guidelines. I sent them a Word document. This is what I need you to do. Upload your routines here. And boom, we had a whole pre-convention set of routines on the website. I just feel like whatever God leads me to do, I do, you know, and sometimes you don't know why you do stuff. Sometimes you don't even remember that you did stuff, but I'm a firm believer because I'm like, I can't really be that smart. That's got to be God leading me. Because
that is...
How did I know to do this?
Yeah. And that timing is like ridiculous. Because, I mean, obviously, everything stopped for a while. And then when it started back up again, and you're still having all these challenges, and everybody moved to essentially learning choreography online over some videos, opposed to getting everybody together as we were coming out of the pandemic. Heck, if we can even say that we're out of the pandemic, but that is amazing timing for all of that to come together, and you already have the infrastructure built for that.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I also think it's a blessing that I've worked in a corporate environment for most of my career. Well, all of my career, basically, I've been in a corporate environment. And I think it's really helped me, A, marketing, B, always understanding innovation and being different. I don't spend time watching what other people are doing, trying to be what other people are. Like, I'm like, we're choreography pros. This is my vision for us. This is what I want us to do. I mean, I'm saying, Roro, we danced together back in the day. We've known each other since 97. And she is brilliant. She's a programmer. She works for a software company and she can build anything just about. She even built Cisco's app that he has.
That he has. Oh, that's awesome.
That he does for his site. So she's just amazing. And it's great to have good friends like her, Ebony, Kari, and even my staff that I can bounce ideas off of. So we're always thinking of how can we service people? How can we be better service to dancers, to coaches, to anybody who wants, who's looking for choreography, who's looking for training, who's looking for dance, who's looking for, whatever. And I think that's been the key element is having people to bounce ideas off of because me by myself, I can't think of everything. I just can't. So it's good to have the help and have people that support you and love you, that you love back, that'll tell you the truth, And you've seen that, like you
I
could see
definitely have. I
it.
mean, that was one of the people have to go back and look at me just overjoyed with what I came away with from going to Choreography Pros the first time, and just seeing just that chemistry with you and your staff and everybody that's involved with Choreography Pros, the choreographers. And I was just like, you can't even make this up in terms of like kind of explaining. It's just love. Like you could tell everybody knows one another and loves each other, and understanding the connection between you all with having danced together, but to be able to give back and contribute to a very business aspect of it. But it's like you all are invested in helping choreography pros grow and helping dancers grow. And like you said, being of service to not just dancers, but to coaches. Like, I mean, if you come into a role as a coach and all of a sudden you're supposed to be coming up with choreography for a whole season. I mean, I personally would need something like this to really set myself, my dancers up for success for that season, and not having like, there's so much to manage in terms of like just the people management aspect of it, all of the things you do as a coach or leader. Choreography is just a whole other, like, I just would really, really appreciate having something like this if I were all of a sudden kind of thrust into that role, because choreographer does not equal necessarily kind of like coach or director and things like that. And
You're
I think it's
absolutely
important
right.
to know.
When we had a coach, she had us choreographing, right? So I was choreographing, Mario was choreographing, like pretty much half the team was choreographing because that wasn't her job. Her job was to manage us. We put out the product, and as the years went along, because, believe it or not, back in the 80s, they expected, like when the teams, whether it be NBA or NFL, a lot of them expected the coach to do everything.
To do
And
everything.
it wasn't realistic, and I even said to my friend who was a coach, she would want me to do a lot of choreography. I was like, don't have me doing all the stuff because it'll look tired. Like, I try to change my style up. I do, but I'm realistic. I'm like, first of all, it's not fair to the dancers because the dancers need to develop and grow. And the only way they're going to develop and grow is from learning from different people with different styles. And although I enjoyed doing it and I did a lot of it, it's just, if I were a coach, I would want it kind of like I had it with the hip hop squad, where there was various people with various styles. Everybody had this energy, they were contributing. But back then we didn't have choreo pros, to go to. So we had, people who had experience choreographing and putting on shows like me and Mario, and then Vianne and Danielle and Roro and I mean, MJ, like everybody end up choreographing for the team. And you're right. I mean, ever since I made joining Choreo Pros free, and I put free sidelines on there for people and some free combos, I get so much like emails and comments. And when I'm seeing, you know, in public from coaches that say, thank you so much. Like, we have no budget. Right. And I have a small school.
That part.
Yeah, I have a small school out here at so-and-so, and we have no budget. And I'm not a choreographer. You know, I just want to help. I'm a sponsor. I just want to help the team, have a dance team. And, you know, that's why also my junior pro, I try to keep it under $100 for a certain amount of time. I've kept it the same price for like 2 years. Like, I think the cheapest I was with like 75, because I hear from so many dancers and parents that people just don't have the money to be spending for their child to do a camp. And if I can do it, I'll try to do it, you know, to make it more affordable for them. But that's why I will always have free material on my site. Once a year, we do the holiday dance that we do for free, because I truly want to serve the dance community. I really want to help these coaches. I taught for a short time, actually, the same school Coco was at. Mm-hmm. When the kids were bad, I just sent them to him because he... No, but they were good kids. But man, when I had my dance class, I mean, and here I am, you know, way older than these kids, my class was packed. Like, you know, I had two classes, you know, then the kids were like, we used to have a dance team. Can you coach our dance
team?
Yes. And I was like, I just didn't have the time because I was actually looking for an analyst job. And it's just like, you start, when you're in those environments, you start to realize there are so many schools, there's so many colleges, there's so many high schools, there's so many middle schools, like so many that have joined Choreography Pros that I've never heard of before, towns I've never heard of before. And it's just really cool. And it makes me feel good when I get emails from these coaches that say, thank you so much. Like, we use your choreography all the time. We still use those sidelines. And I was like, wow, cool.
That's,
you know,
awesome. That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. And just serving that need. Cause I mean, what I've talked about on the podcast before is just kind of like our space, especially in the pros, the level of talent and the level of training that's kind of required at this point. I mean, it's different from when I even was auditioning for, before I joined the NFL as a cheerleader. But I just think that barrier is going to get higher and higher for people who don't have the means to invest in training in the way that maybe some other families do, in terms of having their kids in the studio from age two or whatever. And so I just think that's really admirable to kind of make that accessible for people who are just such a real thing. I mean, even in the pro space, people don't really have the budgets and the means to kind of do all the things that they want to for their dancers in terms of training once on the team. So I think that's just really awesome that you're able to reach all over the country. I mean, I'm sure international as well, right?
Yes, internationally, we have people who buy routines from all over the world, actually. So, and like having that change in the whole structure, like really, I mean, we were getting that before with the other structure, but I think this way, it's just when you can get on for free and learn something for free, there's just more people that are in there. I have girls who, you know, they can't afford to do the pro prep, you know, they'll go on our website. I'm like, that's, you know, that's cool. Like, they go on there. I see the reasons why people go on there, because I do surveys and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, pro prep training, because some people can't afford that stuff. You know, we just want to be able to provide a service, not only for those who have extensive experience, you know, like when you go to Choreo Pros, our pro convention ain't no joke.
No, it is not for the weak hearted. No, I'm just kidding. Serious training, y'all. But I can't wait to talk about that. I mean, when did you start the first like in-person
convention?
Choreography Pros Dance Convention.
So our first one was in 2013.
13, that's right. Okay.
And it was so crazy. My dad was in the hospital. Girl, I always have some crazy stuff happening. My dad was in the hospital. Seriously, I was taking care of my mom at the time. She had dementia. My son is about 7. He has autism. So I'm taking care of everybody, planning this convention. And my dad, as severely ill as he was, And we were trying to get him so that he can stay with us. He was like, how's the planning going? And I said, it's going, it's going. He's like, I want you to do this. I want you to have this convention. And he died in April. And I had my convention in July. And so, I just got emotional. But it was just, it meant so much when I got it done. It meant so much to me because I didn't only do it for me. I did it for my dad, you know?
Yeah.
And girl, you got me. I got these Oprah glasses on and I'm having an Oprah moment. But, you know, it was just, I was so proud, you know?
Yeah.
I was proud because I had done this thing in the midst of all the stuff that was happening. And it was off the strength of my parents and their hope for me and what they wanted to happen for me. And and so very first convention, we didn't have that many people, you know, because not many people knew of us as a convention, but my crew was happy and excited. And that's kind of when our culture began. Like we knew like who we are, how we wanted our environment to be. And then we just kept growing and growing and growing and growing until, of course, COVID. And then we had to take a break. I remember we did one in Texas. So one year we didn't do a convention in Scottsdale. I changed it up and I said, let's travel, because people kept writing us going, can you do one here? Can you do one here? And I was like, no, you know, feasible. It's not really feasible with the cost and everybody mainly being here. Exactly. You got to fly everybody someplace. You know, you don't know, you know, the environment and who the people are and will people travel to there to go to see you. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of did a smaller version in Texas. And that was so much fun. I met so many new teams I hadn't worked with before. Brought down probably like half of my staff. Of course, they're crazy. So, you know, we had a good time.
Of course.
I think you came on my 10-year anniversary, right?
I did, yeah.
And when Sean T came and popped up and surprised me. And,
yes.
That whole thing was a shock. I'm telling you, when I focus on the convention, I have no idea like what else is going on. And so Renasha's like, were you surprised? I was like, yeah, girl, I was surprised. I didn't even realize it was my... Girl, this is how bad
it is. You didn't realize it was
10 years?
I think so, I remember that.
Honestly, you do stuff by yourself. Like, I love it. But you feel the weight and the pressure of everything, like trying to make sure everything pops off, you know, the way it's supposed to, make sure the choreographers are taken care of, make sure the dancers are taken care of. And that's what I love about my group because
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Trust them. I know they're going to treat people right. I know they're going to be supportive of the dancers. I know they're going to be supportive of each other. We don't have any like competitive stuff going on. I've got 25, 30 choreographers, but there I typically have like 20 to 25. And everybody's just supporting each other, hooting and hollering for each other. If somebody needs help with assistance in the class, they hop and help each other out. I mean, I get a lot of people who send in inquiries if they could be a part of ChoreoPros. And, you know, I tell them the truth. I'd like fully staff. I got so many people on staff. But at the same time, too, it's a very special culture that I don't care how famous you are, because we've had people who are well-known choreographers that just, like, my staff will be like, like, it messes up the chemistry. That messes up the chemistry because we have a very family-oriented group. And when I bring a new person in, like Anna never danced with us. Chuck never danced with us. Anthony never danced with us. Toya, when Toya's with us, she never danced with us. But she's busy coaching now, so we can't really get it like we used to. but all these people that have come in to our family, Cisco wasn't on the team, but we all knew Cisco because he's Phoenix. Like, Cisco's Phoenix, man. Like, all the crews knew each other. And so when Anna, Chuck, you know, all these people came in, I mean, it feels like we all used to dance together.
Yeah.
Because that's how the bond is. And everybody's comfortable with each other. And everybody helps each other. And it's just a very cool environment. It's very cool. Like, they know I love them all the same. There's not one person that I say they're the best choreographer here or this person's the best. We don't do that kind of stuff. Like, they're all relevant and they're all contributors and they're all part of CP.
Yeah.
Equally.
Equally. No, and we have some amazing choreographers. I'm not going to give the infomercial because I think I've already done it a couple times just based on like 2 years of going. But, you know, if you were to explain the structure and format of the convention to dancers, in addition to just whether they have to be on a team or not to be able to go, can you share just how people can participate in it and kind of what it's like being there, what they can learn? Because I think it is a little unique in that you don't have to be affiliated with a team to go.
I just got a DM about that today. Somebody was like, do you have to be on a team? I'm like, no, girl, come by yourself or come with friends, whatever you want to do. Yeah. So our convention has always been open. I think it's really hard for people to see that way just because we do service teams, but it is open to anyone who wants to come. But I do say that you will learn a lot in 2 days. So you probably want to have some kind of experience at picking up choreography. I wouldn't advise maybe a very beginner dancer to come right by yourself. You know, maybe give yourself like, you know, a year to get into some classes just picking up choreography because we move fast. So the way the structure is we do 4 routines a day. Each individual dancer, if you came by yourself, would learn 8 routines in 2 days. So you could pick your selection of classes. We have 4 classes going on at the same time. So what happens is the choreographers come out before each of the 4 sessions. So the session number 1, they come out, they demo, and then you could pick whichever style you want to go to. So if Cisco's doing a Vogue routine, you can go do his Vogue routine. If Chocolate's doing a Palm routine, If Danielle's doing a Palm routine, you could choose to go to Palm. If Tina's doing a Jazz, you can go to Jazz. If House is doing a Breaking routine, you can go to Breaking. We have probably more hip hop routines than anything, but we do have Jazz. We have Palm. We have Breaking. We do hip hop. We stick to the culture of hip hop. I don't tell my staff, I need you to do five formations and you've got to have this many transitions or whatever, whatever. It's very creative in their mm-hmm. sense of how they create. I'm always excited. I always can't wait to showcase because their routines are so awesome. And I'm not just saying that because they're my staff, but they are.
Yes.
But yeah, so basically you spit off in a class, you've got an hour and 45 minutes to learn the routine plus the formations. So when I say it's fast paced, it's fast paced. However, it's really intimate. I feel like you can get to know the choreographer. You have no fear of asking questions. The class mm-hmm. isn't too big where like you're seen. You're right. seen, you're heard. You feel comfortable like coming up to me. I'm always walking around. You can always come up to me, ask me questions. But yeah, I feel like our choreographers are very accessible. You know, they all have different personalities. Like Weezy's is like a Debbie Allen type, you know? And then you got Anna who's like, you know? And then you got like, everybody's got like a different personality and different style of teaching. But that's great because if you have any desire to try out for an NFL team, NBA team, go to audition for an artist, you will need to learn how to pick up choreography informations quickly. And we do that in an hour and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you forget it. And then you move on to the next class. So you don't have to remember anything for any kind of showcase later. Our showcase comes right after the hour mm-hmm. and 45 minute class.
Yeah.
While it's fresh in your head. I just really feel like we give you choreography with context. If I'm teaching somebody locking, I'm going to tell them it's called locking. I'm going to tell them this is the stop and go, you know, this step that I'm doing. We give you choreography with context with the Vogue. We actually gave Cisco two classes. So he has an hour and 45 where he's just going over Vogue technique. Mm-hmm. And then he teaches the actual routine after because that technique is very specific. You know, I just take pride that my choreographers know the culture of what they're teaching.
Teaching, yeah.
Yeah.
And back to what you were saying of how you were introduced to it is like, giving like the meaning behind the moves. I can tell you from walking around the different classrooms while I've been at the convention, like all of that rings true. Each of the choreographer's style of teaching. I mean, all the little nuggets that are dropped. I just think there's just so much room for a dancer to develop and really learn a lot, not just choreography, but like learning a lot about their own way of expressing themselves through that choreographer's choreography. Like they're learning a lot more context and being pushed and encouraged in a way that I just think having an hour and 45 minutes may not seem like a lot of time, but it really is to be able to pack more information in there other than just teaching the choreography. So I just think it's just such a full, comprehensive way of developing in that short period of time. And that's what I get excited about. We're all doing a lot of online stuff, but like, there's nothing like being in a dance class in person with other dancers who are striving towards the same goal. And it's just such a warm and fun environment to do that in without extra layer of intimidation. Like, yes, you're going to work your butt off. And I don't know how the dancers do it day to day, but
yeah,
it's an amazing push. It's an amazing push to see unfold. And I think that's like my favorite part is just walking around and watching everybody with their different styles, adding so much more layers to what they're doing when they're teaching. I just think that's just such a gift that you can't even put a price on hearing from the choreographers, what they're wanting to pull out of you and what it actually means, the steps that you're doing and what the vibe is and what the song is. Like, it's just so much that they can get from it. It's a cool environment.
Thank you for that. And it's true because even with what Cisco's doing, right? When he's teaching Vogue technique and, or if I'm teaching any kind of popping up, I'm telling people, don't just learn it here. Like go into that culture, learn, take from teachers who are in that culture of dance. Because a lot of times people will say, yeah, I'm a hip hop choreographer. I'm a hip hop this, and I can teach you. I'm a master of hip hop. I can do this. And they couldn't tell you anything, not one thing. They couldn't tell you the four elements. Well, now they say five, but the elements of hip hop. They couldn't tell you because they learned it from someplace. They're good at doing the steps, but they know nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure my staff isn't like that. Like we're educating and we're encouraging dancers to go take classes so you know. so that you've got it in your body. You have that groove. You don't turn it into this stiff cheer movement because that's not what you learned.
Right.
You know, you learned the actual choreography. It's just been something that's gone on for years, that the idea of being loose and doing hip hop with a groove that you can't clean that. You can clean it.
You can clean that. You can,
clean it. It just takes time and investment in the dancers. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time and investment. I just believe in it. The only thing I tell them, make sure it's visual, have some formation changes. I don't tell them how many, but there's something I think they can improve on. They'll take my feedback and I ask their feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm open to feedback. If you're not a person who's open to feedback and you take anything I say personally and think, oh, she doesn't like me or she said I'm not good, when I would never, ever tell somebody they're not good enough. Right. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But if you were to be like, just because I gave you some kind of critique that that's what I said, we're not the group for you. Because mm-hmm. just like my regular 9-to-5, I get feedback from my 9-to-5. Every year I go through a review. I'm sure you do, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
My choreographers, I tell them, hey, let me know what I can do better. I talk to coaches. I have one-on-ones with the coaches that come. Tell me, what can we do better? You know, mm-hmm. and I do the same for my choreographers. My choreographers don't have any fear that I'm gonna be like, oh, you know what? Nobody performed this routine, you know, this year. So you're going to be cut.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Because guess what? They'll perform it probably the next year, you know? And even if they don't, we have like over 300 some odd routines. At one point, we were doing 40 routines in a weekend, and I was like, why? Why? Yes, what? We got up to 40 because wow. I wanted to give the coaches as much. And then at the end of the day, I was like, really, a lot of teams repeat and they really don't use every single routine. Yeah. So I kind of toned that down and gave more minutes to the class. So I took out a session and added more to the classes. Nice. And the dancers have performed better that way. My mm-hmm. choreographers like it better that way because they really have that time to give that context because yeah. I want them to share their knowledge with the choreography and with the style, mm-hmm. like House with the breaking. He's going to give you elements. He's going to give you a six step. He's going to give you top rock. He's going to tell you all those things that I guarantee you most other conventions aren't going to teach that.
Yeah.
You know? So when you come to Choreography Pros, this is the kind of knowledge and instruction and love and feedback that you're going
to
get.
That's the way you grow. I mean, in that yeah. kind of environment. And I love the switch to just having a little bit more time to do it. I mean, I didn't do any of the, well, I did go to one dance convention when I was on for the Seahawks. And that was my mm-hmm. first time doing anything like that. And I probably yeah. was like deer caught in headlights, like, what the hell? I didn't even know this was a thing to do dance conventions. I didn't grow up with all of that. But I do remember just that frantic pace of like learning a whole lot super quickly in like such a short period of time. The choreographers are barely kind of getting through the whole routine. And then it's like, come on, yeah. perform it. And I was just like, this is madness. But I think it's just the sweet spot of like enough time to really have that push, because these are actual like full length routines that would be like a
right.
quarter change or, you know, timeout length, and you are setting it with formations and all the things. But again, just that extra little bit of time where you can kind of like breathe and soak it in a little bit more and build that confidence.
Yeah.
So tell us
yeah.
dates, tell us the information where people can go ahead and register. I will be going again this year. I'm so excited.
Yay! I'm so excited for the day.
I am so pumped, so pumped. But tell everybody yeah. how they can register.
Okay, so you can register on choreopros.com. There is a drop down that says CP events. So we have two events. We have a junior pro for our 8 to 18. That convention is less expensive of the two. It's only 6 routines. It's 4 routines on Saturday, 2 routines on Sunday. Now, okay. pro, which we were excited in talking about, is July 26th is our meet and greet party. And we've moved from a hotel in Scottsdale to a hotel in Tempe. It's at the Fairfield Inn. And it will be from 7 to 9. So if you pay for the full convention, you do get access to the meet and greet, which on the 26th. And that's where you get to like meet the choreo pros and talk to the choreographers, get to know them before you go to class. and they kick your butt on Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday and Sunday, that's 27th and 28th, and it is a full day. So expect to go from 8 to 6:30 both days. And like I said, you'll have four classes a day, but some of them, like I said, with Cisco's will be a technique class. If he does voguing again, then that will be a technique class. Anything that I feel that needs a little bit more time will be separated to a class for technique so that the dancers can gather that. But it'll be approximately 30 classes, maybe more. The convention is not at the hotel this year. It's at ASU, and it's in the Sun Devil Fitness Center. I always have to think about that because it was called something else when I went to ASU.
Oh.
It changed the name several times. But it's fantastic. They have these four gigantic fitness rooms with mirrors.
Lovely.
So instead of a ballroom where we're all like where the music's kind of overpowering and everybody's kind of hearing everybody count. Like my choreographers are great. They've gotten used to that for 12 years. But now each of my choreo pros will have their own class, the closed doors, mirrors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be such a great environment to learn and to nail the routine. So the hotel's about 3 miles from there. We have a great rate at the hotel, $119 a night, including breakfast. So teams,
okay,
individuals, friends who want to come, it's going to be a good time. We hope to see you guys there. We can't wait. All my choreographers look forward to it every year. So you know they're going to be hyped with good energy. All you have to do is go to at ChoreoPros on IG, and you can see some samples of our choreography, and you will hear how hype our choreographers get and just the whole environment. Like, we cheer you on. I just want everybody to do well. I want my choreographers to do well. I want the dancers to do well. I want them to come out of there smiling and have just a new confidence.
Yeah.
You know, just coming out there. I always tell dancers, look, you learned just after the one day. We do have a one day rate. So if you can't make both days, we do have a one day registration that you can do and add the meet and greet a la carte. But like I said, even just with one day, you'll learn four routines in one day with formations. And if you have an audition coming up, and I've had many dancers who have gone to ChoreoPros before an audition, they say, thank goodness, because then the audition, they're not as stressed because they've already got that experience of picking up and learning stuff. And if you haven't done that in a while, you need to get into a convention or a class or something where you do that. Because I've seen it where dancers, you can tell when I've judged auditions, I can tell when dancers haven't been going to class.
When they haven't had that conditioning.
No, they haven't had that conditioning of picking up choreography. Mm-hmm. So if you're planning on auditioning, this is a great way. Even if you can't afford the 2 days and you want to do one day, it's a great way for you to get that dance conditioning of picking up choreography. And even if you're not trying out for an NBA team, if you plan to go to LA, if you go to any classes in LA, it's the same thing. They are teaching quickly. And a lot of those dancers do, they go to the same class that they've done the choreography before, but it gives you that ability to be able to pick up choreography quickly and perform. It's just something that you have to practice, and you've got to do it time and time and time again.
For sure. And just having that confidence, like you said, I would say for people who've gone and what they've accomplished over the 2 days or the one day, what have you, like, if you can get through that, you're going to get through an audition.
Boom.
And feeling like, you know, you have that armor on of like, I already see what I'm capable of. I just think it's a big confidence boost because you're getting all of the, you said, people cheering for you and all the support and encouragement that you need. And so by the end of the weekend or that one day, kind of walking into an audition, I think it's like excellent training for in preparation for the audition. And I won't say especially NBA, it's just the timing of it, right? Where there are auditions going on.
Yeah, and a lot of NBA auditions are happening earlier this year, but it's still good training. Unfortunately, Suns audition is like our first day, which is the 27th, so we can't teach till the 28th. But their first open call is actually the first day of our convention. But let's say you're in Chicago and Toya's already had her audition and you're like, man, I just missed it. You know, like either you missed the audition date or you just missed making the team, right? And then you're looking like, how can I improve you know, for next year, like, how can I see where I need improvement? You can see where you need improvement mm-hmm. by just going to a convention like ours. And we have personal coaches that you can get.
Oh, that's right. You did that for the first time last year.
Yes.
Oh, we can talk about that too.
Yes. So this year it's $25 fee.
And this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Personal coaches are outstanding. I mean, we've got so many good feedbacks. We did it for free last year, and we got such good feedback that we decided to do it this year again. And basically, one of our Choreo Pros will be watching you. You'll get a number, and they'll watch you perform during your showcases. They'll get with you after. They'll talk to you. They'll give you feedback one-on-one on some things that you can work on, even as far as learning. You know, if they see that you're standing in the back, they might say, hey, we noticed that you're always in the back learning. You need to like try to move up here, you know, and things like that. And that's the stuff that personal coaching will do, because it will allow you to understand like what areas that you may not even realize, mm-hmm. you know, things that you're doing. You may not realize that you're standing off in the corner. You may not realize, you know, just the little things that you're doing that's going to keep you from having that confidence.
Right.
You know, that if you were to come up and be like, okay, I'm going to stand in the middle of the pack, even though I don't know this routine, we're all here to learn. I'm going to come here with confidence and I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to stay in the middle, or I'm going to stay on the left-hand side, you know, in the middle line. I'm not going to like push myself to the back. I mean, of course, somebody's always in the back corner the way it's set up, right?
Right.
But it's just having that confidence and knowing, what am I doing that's prohibiting me from bringing the best that I could bring?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the personal coaching helps with. I was proud of my coaches last year because I heard such great feedback from the dancers, and they had the biggest smiles when they left. One, actually, she was like, oh my gosh, she's like, I loved it, it's me. And she went on and on about it. And then the next week she auditioned for a cruise line and she got the job, and she was off wow. all over the world dancing on a cruise.
Wow.
And that's the kind of stuff we want dancers to know. Like, there's opportunities in Vegas. There's opportunities in LA. There's opportunities with cruise lines. There's so many opportunities that when you come to a convention like ours, we are going to teach you various styles. We're not going to just teach you a straight, like, dance team style. It is a style that dance teams can do. But a lot of stuff that we do, heels, voguing that Cisco teaches, breaking, not all dance teams do that.
No,
you know, sure. And the ones that do, they set themselves apart, right? Because they're doing something that is not traditional. that's not, you know, expected. And the crowd and audience appreciates it. And mm-hmm. I think for dancers too, when you learn stuff like that, you go to an audition in LA and they say, okay, we need you to duck walk. And you're like, duck what? You know, mm-hmm. or we need you to whack. Whack what? We need you right. to, right. you know, vogue. Vogue what? We need you to do this, you know, pop and step. You know, if you come to our convention, we hope that we've taught you enough context that you can pick up stuff like that when you go to an audition that's outside the NBA or NFL.
So important for people to remember too. Like, I'm so glad you said that, especially because it is audition season and maybe people, you know, it didn't work out with a particular team. I think people get so locked and loaded on our space that they forget yeah. that there are other opportunities to dance and continue to grow during that 1 year until that next audition. And you'll only
right.
improve as a dancer from having those other dance opportunities and experiences under your belt. And so just keeping that open mind that if you have gone through auditions and maybe didn't make the team, like you can still train and prepare yourself for other opportunities within dance where you can continue mm-hmm. to grow and try out for that team a year later and be a complete, not a completely different person, but you definitely will have grown from.
The confidence will come.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, when I judge auditions, because I still judge, you know, my most recent was the hip hop squad. The most distinctive difference that you can tell is confidence. Mm. Because even if a person may mess up, but they have that confidence and somebody does it perfect and they don't have that confidence, you can see the difference. Mm. Because you don't want that. You want to be confident in what you're doing. And you want to show that you're a performer. That's what being a performer is. It's that confidence. It's that power, right? And the more you practice, it's like any mm-hmm. sport or anything you do in the world, the more you practice, the more confidence you'll have. Don't just start taking prep classes or whatever right before the audition. Like, you need to be training and dancing all year. And going to like something like Choreography Pros, something where you've got the opportunity to learn from 8 different choreographers, right? Because more likely, I mean, you could pick the same choreographer again, but you know, you have the opportunity to learn from 8 different choreographers at least in those 2 days.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
will have you learning from a different type of teacher with a different type of style, not only dance, but teaching style. It makes you more adaptable to any kind of environment that you were to come in to learn.
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, I'm so glad that we finally kind of got to talk about it. I mean, I talked about it. I've just been wanting other people
you
to.
You are our biggest cheerleader, girlfriend.
Oh my gosh.
I appreciate you so much. I really do. Like, you don't even know. Like, I appreciate you. I appreciate my staff that's there behind me. It's a lot, you know, to do by yourself. But when I have people that love and support and cheer me on like you, it makes it all worth it. And I truly appreciate you. I want you to know that.
I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Like, I just was filled with so much joy. I appreciate you and the whole Choreography Pros family, like, welcoming me there, because I'm just a little podcast and I'm nosy and I want to go see and what it's like to, you know, be in different places, go to different games. And I get so shy. It might not seem that way, but I just felt so embraced by you and everybody there. And
in addition
to just being such a wonderful experience, I just couldn't help but scream from the rooftop. So I'm just so glad to have you. And can't wait for freaking July to get here.
Like, I know. And I'm glad to be here too. So thank you. Thank you again so much for having me on your wonderful podcast. And congratulations to you, because you've been keeping it moving, girl, for years. Like, what year is this for you?
Oh my gosh. This is year 5 and it'll be 6 in October, which is crazy.
Wow.
I still can't believe it. But, you know, it's times like this where I get to talk to people who I look up to and admire that just kind of like, this is the reason, you know?
Yeah,
I can't let you leave, Missy, without asking you if you want to play Drop It Like It's Hot. I have some like rapid fire questions I can ask you if you're down.
Okay.
Okay. Just get to know you a little bit better. Let's start small. What's your favorite pizza topping, or just order your favorite pizza?
Supreme, girl.
Oh, Supreme.
I like it all.
With onions or without?
Onions, mushroom. You know, I love it all. I mean, I don't like the fish stuff. But
the anchovies,
yeah.
The olives, the
Oh yeah, I love it. I like all the flavor that comes with a bite, you know?
Okay, I
Yep.
can feel that. You kind of answered this, but I want to see if you have a different response. But what's the biggest mistakes that you see aspiring dancers make?
The biggest mistake I see aspiring dancers make, I think probably not putting themselves out there, like I said, to take more classes, to get feedback. I think it's scary, but I think if you put yourself in the right environment, that the feedback you get will be positive. And if you could be around people who help you and encourage you, I think that's great. I think people get locked in, like you were saying, this is the way to get here. Like, I only have to do this. When just open yourself up to different experiences and different classes and different things, and you'll realize, you know, when you say aspiring pro, like, it depends on what kind of pro you want to be, right? If you're taking prep classes or something. But if you're looking to be a pro dancer, period, you should be taking all types of classes and challenging yourself. African dance, for me, I was taking it at ASU. But when I danced in that group with Kwambe, a lot of these women were 10, 15 years older than me and were kicking my tail. Like, they can move their bodies like I had never moved my body before.
Right.
So you can learn from different people, from different classes, from different cultural dances. But I would say that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I see, is them just channeling it one way. Yeah.
Got it. Now that makes a lot of sense. If you could travel back in time, what decade would you go to?
Girl, the 90s! That's not even a question for me. Like, the 90s?
It was a time.
Girl, it was the time. The music. I was always dancing in the clubs. I was like, oh. The music. The music, yeah. Period. The music. You know?
From R&B to hip-hop, all of it.
Yep, all the trips I made, all the stuff I did. Like, it was a good time, girl. It was a good time.
Love it.
I love that one.
If you could live in any sitcom, which one would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, shoot. What is that one that Tracy was in?
Girlfriends? I can't remember.
Yes.
Girlfriends. I was just watching that this morning. Yes.
Or okay. Living Single. Living Single.
That's right. Yes. What's one vice you wish you could give up?
Ooh. Let me think about that. Maybe ice cream?
Okay.
I love ice cream. Yeah.
You can keep that one.
Mint chocolate chip. Or butter pecan, girl. Butter pecan.
Oh, butter pecan. I'm a pralines and cream girl all day.
Are you?
Let's see. Okay, what's your favorite holiday?
I would definitely say Christmas.
What's something that you appreciate about your life right now that you may not have 10 years from now?
Well, shoot, you know, 10 years from now, that's another whole decade. So my body may not be moving the way it's moving now. So I say my ability to choreograph.
Okay. And like you are choreographing for the convention too, right? Sometimes you sneak a little routine or two in there.
Yeah. It's just in me. I try not to, but it's just in me. So I might do one or two, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see how I feel, because I end up stressing myself out always because I'm doing too much. Plus I'm trying to choreograph, but it's just something in me. It's hard to find a song that moves you, you know, like, especially now. I'm such a old school hip hop girl songs really have to make me want to move. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Want to choreograph. So, yeah. So we'll see.
Okay. Stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Can you play any musical instruments?
Not now, but when I was in school, I played the clarinet.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, not now. Like, I don't remember how to play that. But yeah, now since school, I used to be able to read music. I can't now, but.
Wow. That's one thing that I feel like if I have a bucket list item, it will be to learn to play a musical instrument. It just never happened for me, but it's never too late.
You know what? Like, I was thinking about this today. The kids that came out 10 years after we did didn't get the opportunity to do stuff we did. Like, I was in a band class in eighth grade. That's how I learned how to play and read music. Like, it was part of the school structure. Yeah. it was part of the curriculum, like you said. And so it's just so sad. Like when I think about all the stuff that we did that, you know, now they don't even offer in schools anymore.
You know, so. No, it's so true. So true. Especially like having an actual band class that has the instruments there so that you're able to share them. You didn't have to worry about necessarily buying them. And
yeah,
it's a different world now. Totally.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Totally. Okay, a couple more. What was the best vacation that you've ever taken?
Ooh, it wasn't really a vacation.
It doesn't count. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm kidding. But
probably like one of my most favorite trips. I took a vacation to New Orleans, but probably one of my most fun trips was when I was dancing for the Phoenix Mercury. One year they did this all-star tour. And the ball players, just to promote the NBA, they would have teams travel and play games around the U.S. And one of the games, girl, was in New Orleans. And that's when the hip-hop guy got to go. And that was probably one of the most fun, crazy trips I've ever been on in my life. But that was fun. But if we are talking a vacation, probably a trip I did with my parents to Miami. And then it was like a family reunion thing. And then we went to the Bahamas.
Oh, nice.
And then, yeah. And my dad, when he, you know, rest his soul, I miss him so much. But when I was young, like, he took me to do everything. Like, you know, him and my mom, like, we went to amusement parks, we went on cruises. So that was probably one of my favorite ones, was when we went to Florida and then we went to Bahamas. So.
Nice.
But girl, hopefully my upcoming, I'm not going to tell you what birthday is going to be, but when it's the next decade, when it's the next decade, no, I'll have to let you know because I want to do like a girls trip. So you'll have to. Oh,
you know me, I'm going to hop on a plane in a heartbeat. So all I need is a reason.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Gotta celebrate. I got to stop being lame about my birthday. I've realized that I've kind of like want to like hide under a rock a little bit, but I'm shaking that.
I feel like that too. Because, you know, now I'm over the 50 mark, but praise God, right? We're here.
We're here.
We're waking up every day.
Yep.
We're able to move. We're able to dance. We're able to travel. We're able to do this and that. Praise God. We're here.
We got to celebrate. Too much to celebrate. No hiding under a rock.
That's right.
The last question I have is how you would define yourself in 3 words. Who is Miss V?
Caring. Loyal. Hopeful.
I love that.
That's right.
I love that. And what are you hopeful for? Okay, I'm stealing another one, but I like that answer.
You know, I try to keep a positive outlook on things. And that's one of the things that people give me feedback on that I didn't realize that I'm that way. Somebody just told me that the other day. And it gives me a sense of pride that I come across that way. Positive and always trying to look at the bright side of things. Just me being hopeful is part of me being a faithful person and just having faith that no matter how bad it gets, that things are going to be better. So,
Miss V, thank you so much for your time today. I've like loved this conversation. Can't wait to see you and hug you in July.
I know. I know, girl. I cannot wait. No, I mean, girl, this was fun. I really enjoyed talking to you. And,
me too.
Again, thank you. Like, from sis to sis, like, in this industry, it's been hard to, like, get the support. There ain't many of us, and there especially ain't many of us who support each other. So, you know, I appreciate you. I really appreciate you too.
It was definitely from like day one when we were able to talk, you know, kind of even realizing like when you're just so focused on doing the best that you can, being of service or doing things or trying to help people, sometimes you don't even realize how much you're not supported because you're really only focusing on, you know, like you said, like maybe the more optimistic side of things, or you're not doing it for a thank you or for acknowledgement or recognition. But then when you kind of like, if you do take a step back and realize like, dang, like there really could be some more support over here. We're just going to let it go. But no, I appreciate how much hard work you put into everything. And you're not alone because you have a team and staff and everything, but it's still, you are still the engine behind all of this. So it's just, acknowledge your efforts, the passion to keep doing it, the responsibility that holds. Like when it's just me, I know if I decide I'm not going to be the engine anymore, then nobody else is impacted, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's a lot of responsibility. But you've built such a beautiful community of a family. And I love how they love on you and just have your back. It just means
I
it's just
know,
it's a
girl. I'm
beautiful
blessed.
thing.
Like, I'm so blessed to have the ones I do because they look out for me and support me in ways. It's just unbelievable. And that's why I'm very protective of them too, as far as like bringing somebody new into the fold. Like, it just doesn't happen that often, especially anymore, you know, unless they suggest somebody, which is usually the case, but I gotta make sure that person is
That it just
can get
grows.
along with everybody, you know,
Yeah.
because we just don't have anybody up in choreopros anymore.
Well, I love every single one. And again, I'm not leaving till Monday, so I can
Yes.
hang again. And
Good, good.
yeah,
I'm
I'm
hoping
really
I can go
excited.
out with y'all this time too.
I was expecting you. You guys work so hard. I don't even know how any of us had that energy.
Yeah.
Come have a
But anyway.
toast. If nothing else, it's a little toast. But no, I can't wait to see
Yeah.
you. I won't keep you. All
Thank you, sweetie. Love
right.
you.
Love you
Take care
too.
of
I'll see you
yourself.
soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.